All right, we're ready for the message this morning. It's on the importance of God's Word on Genesis 1. I got a little feedback from the front row that the Bible Project was so good, they're just going to watch it on their phone instead of listening to the message. So you can do that. I mean, I don't think you'll do that. Thank you, Linus. I tried to wear some Patriots colors. I don't have the right color of blue. I thought of wearing my Vince Wilfork jersey, but then I knew there were some people in the audience, they might have trouble paying attention to the message if I had my Patriots jersey on, so I decided not to wear that. I'm going to read to you Genesis 1, all right, so it takes a few minutes. On your outline, you'll see I found 14 important points for us from Genesis chapter 1. You might think, how did you get 14 points out of Genesis 1? Like, in the beginning, you know, God made light. So let's try and put that attitude aside. Let's really, please try and focus. Try and say, okay, this is God's Word. Now, what can I learn just hearing from the story of creation from Genesis chapter 1? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. God saw that the light was good. He separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. There was evening and there was morning, the first day. And God said, let there be an expanse between the waters to separate water from water. So God made the expanse, separated the water under the expanse from the water above it, and it was so. God called the expanse sky. There was evening and there was morning, the second day. And God said, let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let the dry ground appear. And it was so. God called the dry ground land. The gathered waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants, and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds. And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, trees bearing fruit with seed in it, according to their kinds. God saw that it was good. There was evening, there was morning, the third day. And God said, let there be the lights in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from the night. Let them serve as signs to mark seasons and days and years. Let them be lights in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth. And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day, the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set them in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth, to govern the day and the night, to separate light from darkness. God saw that it was good. There was evening, there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, let the water teem with living creatures. Let birds fly above the sky. Across the expanse, God created the great creatures of the sea and every living thing and moving thing which the water teems, according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. God saw that it was good. God blessed them and said, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the water in the seas. Let the birds increase on the earth. And there was evening and there was morning, the fifth day. God said, let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, livestock, creatures that move along the ground, wild animals, each according to its kind. And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, over every living creature that moves on the ground. Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds of the air and all the creatures that move on the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. There was evening, there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it, he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. Amen. This is God's word, so let's pray. Father, please instruct us from your word this morning, I pray. Help me be an able teacher, and let my brothers and sisters be listeners, and let them be built up by what I share in Jesus' name. Amen. In the beginning, God. God is eternal. He was in the beginning. John 1 harkens to this verse. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. God is our Creator, and that means this world is not an accident, nor are you. All right, so look kindly at your neighbor and say, you are not an accident. Okay, so that's the fill-in, number one. God is our Creator. This world and you are not an accident. Lots of people living today think the world's an accident. By chance and evolution, we're all here. People are an accident. There's kind of no right or wrong. Everything is sort of up for grabs. You can believe whatever you want to. And that's what that philosophy leads to. So we know, no, actually, God created us. He has a goal in mind. What's God's goal? Bringing heaven on earth, restoration. That's a good word, too. But that's what Jesus told us to pray. Let your kingdom come on earth. Number two, God brought and continues to bring order out of disorder. Order out of chaos, light out of darkness. I think this is important. Do you ever find disorder in your home? Disorder in your life? Things get a little chaotic? So God brought order out of disorder. Mothers, every week, follow God's example by bringing order out of all the disorder that the family creates. For a while, when Ingrid was working, she didn't have enough time to clean the house the way she wanted to. So for a couple years, we got a housekeeper, and someone came in and cleaned. Then after that, I thought they didn't do a good enough job for the amount of money it cost. So I said, I'll clean the floors every week, and I took up some of the things. The floors don't get clean quite as often as when we had someone come in. But when I clean the floors, and then if the grandkids come over and they're spilling things on the floor, what's my reaction? I just cleaned the floor. And Betsy Hill goes, welcome to my life. All I do is clean and they make it dirty and clean. But that's God. Little things are important to God. I was talking to my son, Daniel. He was talking about he was kind of bored with his job. And he listened to a podcast by a Navy SEAL. And the Navy SEAL was talking about the importance of little things. So the Navy SEAL said, when I was on a mission, I was like tuned in. It was exciting. It was great. But then there was times where I had to be back and I had to actually work in the office and just fill out paperwork for other men, you know, going on missions. It was boring. I didn't like it. But I had to realize the mission can't happen unless all the paperwork is done. So it's important. And he was advocating the little things in life are important. The guy was saying making your bed is important. Keeping things clean because it's bringing order. He wasn't quoting Genesis. So all the mothers want to know what that podcast is, right? Number three, God's word has power. He created by speaking the world into existence. Or he created, anybody know what this Latin is? Ex nihilo, out of nothing, okay? So we've got a few Latin scholars here who knew what that meant already. So you can impress people. You can say, yeah, God creates ex nihilo. You know, you just kind of like try and lay that on them. But it's important. I mean, there was God, and then all of a sudden he spoke things into existence. So it's good for us to remember that. The psalmist says, we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. We did not make ourselves. God's word has power. So we want to believe what God says in his written word. We want to say what he says, and we want to live out what he says. Amen? So that's important. Next point. God is always separating light from darkness. 1 John writes one of the most compelling scriptures, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. That's a little fearful, isn't it? There is no dark, because there's darkness in me, and there's darkness in you. So God separates light from the darkness. That's who he is. So part of being a disciple of Jesus is uncovering the darkness in your life and getting rid of it. That's why repentance is a good thing. It's a way that we get free from darkness. We put off the old, Paul says, we put on the new. So it's a great thing. God separates light from darkness. In verse 6, it says, let there be an expanse between waters to separate water from water. And it was so. In verse 9, let the water under the sky be gathered to one place. Let the dry ground appear. And it was so. I love that. Boom. What God says happens. That's your fill-in. When God speaks, it comes into existence. There's a psalm that says, God sent his word and healed them. So we just have that sense of scripture about the power of the Lord. This kind of follows about God's word having power. What he says happens. If we go on, God called the dry ground land, the gathered waters he called sea, and God saw that it was what? Good. And then he goes on again. God saw that he produced vegetation. God saw that it was good. There's at least six different times in chapter 1 that God says what he saw was good. And then at the end, when he looks at everything, what does he say? It's very good. So we can easily conclude what God creates is good because God is good. That's simple. God is good. What he creates is good. Praise God. The next point I got from a friend of mine, John Rankin, it's this. To govern means to give. And he gets that from verse 16. He said, God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day, the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set them in the vault of the sky to give light to the earth. So governing means giving. What would it be like if all of our elected officials had this mindset? Right? That it's not about power. It's not about prestige. It's about giving to the people you represent. What did Jesus say about leadership? If you want to be a leader, what? Serve. Be a servant of everybody. And so again, we see this right from the beginning. God establishes this principle in his word. Verse 20, God said, let the water teem with living creatures. Let the birds fly above the earth. God blessed them, said, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the water in the seas and let the birds increase on the earth. So being fruitful is a blessing. It's God's will for us. Being fruitful. Living things grow. Does that include churches? Does that include you and your personal walk with God? Yeah. God expects us to be fruitful. So we should want to have the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our life. And we shouldn't be ashamed of that. We should want to be more like Jesus. We should want to be stronger in faith and not feel like we're being proud or we're aiming for something wrong. No, that's God's will for you. We should want our church to grow. That's not being proud. That's what God wants. God wants his kingdom to grow. He says his kingdom is always increasing. Is that good? Yeah, praise the Lord. Right? The next point, number 9. Humans are distinct from the rest of creation. Why? We're made in God's image. So there's certain things about us that distinguish us from animals or plants, and that's important. You know, we live in a world today where lots of people think that people are bad. There's too many people. People ruin the earth. I mean, there's some truth to that. We pollute the earth. God doesn't want us to pollute the earth. He wants us to be stewards of the earth. But people are good. People are more important than animals. People are more important than plants. People have value, all right? They're made in the image of God. So we're distinct from the rest of creation. And then if we keep reading, what's it say? God said, let us make man in our image and our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. So being male and female is God's design. God's the one who authored that. Let's keep going. The next point, every person has value simply as an image bearer of God. I love the point I heard a pastor preach years ago. You will never lock eyes with someone who's not important to God. That's wonderful. You know, that's something as Christians we can celebrate. We live in a world that doesn't believe that anymore. And we have to guard our own hearts from being that way. You know, like sometimes, I mean, when I first came to the city, when I see homeless people or people begging for money, my natural inclination is to like slide, you know, to the side and walk by. And sometimes you don't have time to like talk to a homeless person or help them, but to have that attitude is wrong. I don't want to be like that. And there's lots of times I've just said hello to homeless people and say, hey, my name's Dave. What's your name? And they talk to me. They enjoy being treated like a human being and just being talked to. And I'll offer to buy them something. Are you hungry? Can I buy you some food? That's important. People are valuable to God. When we first moved to Boston, our leader, Dave Zealy, used to note how on Fridays, which direction does everybody travel? North to New Hampshire and Vermont, right? And he used to say, people love trees, God loves people. I just think, yeah, that's interesting, Dave. We want to get away from the people. Number 12. Ruling is part of God's blessing. What did he say? Let us make humankind in our image. The word Adam, A-D-A-M, in the little video we watched, that's a Hebrew word for humans. And then in chapter 2, when there's an article, the human, that's referring to Adam, and so that becomes the man's name, is Adam. But humankind, male and female, God calls us to rule. And then in verse 28, he says, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and every living creature that moves on the ground. Some theological circles, this is called the dominion mandate. Dominion means ruling. So you take dominion of the earth. That's really happened, hasn't it? And we went from Adam was given dominion over a garden and he produced food. And he and Eve had children, they had a family. And then families formed communities. So we see there's this responsibility to take care of things, bring order out of disorder, to feed, to rule. We domesticated animals. We've devised ways to produce enormous quantities of food. How many of you, this is just a side question, how many of you think there are too many people in the world today? You don't have to raise your hand. And how many of you think we need more people in the world today? All right, we got a yes over on one side, unashamed. I grew up thinking there's too many people in the world. That's kind of, there was something, there's a book called The Population Bomb. And it started with a guy named Malthus back in the 1700s. He was worried that back in the 1700s, he was worried that there wasn't going to be enough food for everybody. And you think, how could he have been worried back then? But he was. And people have taken that. So the population bomb said, whole countries will starve to death in the 1970s. That was the prediction. So you're growing up and so there's no hope for Kenya. You know, there's no hope. You know, it just named thing. I mean, now why didn't that happen? Because they found ways to create more food. So human ingenuity kept pace with the population growth. And now, believe it or not, there's some countries that don't have enough people. And the problem is there's a larger percentage of the population that's older, and so there's not enough younger people to take care of the older people. So I just looked this up. Even in America, in 1950, for Social Security, the ratio of people working to people being supported by Social Security was 15 to 1. Then in 1960, it's 5 to 1. Then in 1970, it's 3.7 to 1. In 2010, it was 2.9 to 1. So all of a sudden, there's a shrinking number of people. So if it's like 1 to 1, that means then you've got to take care of yourself and have enough money to take care of somebody else who's older. So there's a need for people. Children are important. Now, obviously, if everybody has 10 kids or whatever, yes, there could be a population problem. But we're actually at a right where people have rejected being fruitful. And so in Europe, especially Russia, Eastern Europe, there's a diminishing population. Japan's really struggling with the number of old people they have. And even I looked in Wikipedia. Wikipedia sees this as a good thing. It's kind of interesting. They said, oh, it's shrinking and prospering. That's not actually what's happening. It's like all the older people aren't prospering in Japan right now. Right? So there's a real difficulty. So the point is, being fruitful is part of God's blessing. Being able to take dominion and bring forth new ways of producing food, new ways of travel. I've got solar panels on my house. How cool is that? I mean, someone figured out how to harness energy from the sun. That's beautiful. The sun, as long as we're alive, is going to be unlimited energy for planet Earth. The more they can keep doing that, then we can, what, reduce the amount of carbon dioxide from fossil fuels. That's a great thing. So even from a secular standpoint, I don't think God wants us to be all bummed out and discouraged. I think God wants us to think like, hey, he's made us to be fruitful. He's made us to take dominion. He's given us, we're made in his image. We have brains. People can create amazing things. My dad used to say, I mean, he passed away in 2010. He said, Dave, I can't believe like what's transpired in my lifetime. He had a horse when he was a kid. People in his town still like rode horses around. Then there was car. I mean, not that there weren't cars, but people still used horses. And then like 2010, look at the world he lives in now. It's amazing. It's all part of God's goodness, part of God's plan. So ruling is part of God's blessing. But the next point is God also made us in his image, not just to rule, but so we could know him. What did Jesus say? This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. So as humans, we're called to know God. Having a love relationship with Jesus is the best thing we have in life. And then as his people, we are called to participate in the work of advancing his kingdom on earth. That's something for all of us to do. There's no like unnecessary Christians. Somebody say amen. All right? It's not just for like pastors or missionaries. Everybody is a part of what God's doing. So that's wonderful. It makes me excited. So I have a vision for all of you that God can use you. I believe that. God can use you where you work. God can use you where you go to school. God wants to use you. I believe that. I pray for you to be used by God, just to be his light, to be his blessing. We're blessed to be a blessing. I pray that for us. It's fun to be a blessing to people. God made me practice what I preach. Last Sunday, I preached on serving. Serving's a way of life. There was a woman who wanted to throw a big party for her kids. She wanted to come in the morning and decorate and get set up. She couldn't because we were here. They didn't know we were going to be here a month ago when she scheduled the room. So I saw her pull up with this minivan full of stuff. I said, oh, would you like a hand? She goes, yes. So I start helping her. And then I said, well, how many tables do you want? She goes, well, I think we're going to have 60 people. I'm like, oh. So it's like 20 minutes later, like we're finishing up, you're like setting up. But I was glad I was able to do it. And then get this. She goes, I think I know you. I said, well, you look familiar to me. I said, how could we know each other? She goes, well, I was down on Faneuil Gardens last summer, and your church actually gave me gift cards for Stop and Shop. And I remembered, oh, yeah, this woman had, like, just come to America, and she came up for prayer and told us, you know, her struggles. I said, wow, it sounds like you could use some help. So I went back the next day, met her at the park, gave her a couple of gift cards to Stop and Shop. So God had us come around again. We're able to be a blessing to her again, right? What does Psalm 146 that I read this morning to start us off? God cares for the stranger in the land. We got to do that. It was great. Last point. Rest is a blessing from God. Well, can anybody say amen to that? Rest is a blessing. Sunday's supposed to be a day of rest. The Hebrew word for rest there is Shabbat, which then is the root word for Shabbat or Sabbath. So if you go to Jerusalem, I've never been there, but Jerusalem, at sundown on Friday, everything shuts down. If you know any Orthodox Jewish people, everything shuts down at sundown on Friday till sundown on Saturday. 24 hours, they rest. They seek to rest. And so we need to learn to rest. We don't have to be that strict about the rest, but we should learn to rest. If we get the worship team back up here, part of this is God also says there's a Sabbath rest for the people of God. So God wants us to learn to rest just in the busyness of our lives, to rest. Like for Ingrid, Saturday morning is the best day for her to rest. It's the best time of the week, just given our schedule and what we do here with church and Bible fun class. So that's what we aim for. Say, okay, let's make that a time of rest. So you have a time where you don't have to do anything. You don't have to go anywhere. Just turn your phone off. Call people back later. Rest. That's good. So we have trouble doing that. Does anybody feel guilty resting? That's just your human nature. That's from the... No, okay, I got it. Adam's like, I love to rest, man. I can sleep all day. But a lot of us feel guilty. That's from the enemy. God wants to be able to rest peacefully. The Sabbath rest is talking about resting from your works of righteousness. Our natural bent of, I have to earn God's favor. And there's a rest from that. It's only found in Jesus. Because Jesus is our righteousness. His life, his death on the cross, his resurrection makes us righteous. It's not my own effort. It's what God through Christ has done for me. And so that's the biggest blessing. I just got a yawn. Praise the Lord. That's good. There's rest here today. Hallelujah. But we're going to close. We celebrated Jesus' broken body and his blood being poured out. We're going to close by just celebrating that Jesus is our rest. We don't work. He is our righteousness. Amen? So let's stand. Father, I thank you for my brothers and sisters. I pray that you speak to them from all these points. Just from one chapter of your word, we see how much truth is contained in it. Make us lovers of your word. Make us doers of your word. And just use what was taught today to build our walk with you in Jesus' name.